Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, so if you are listening to this on the day it releases, it is the eve of the U.S. election. If you're listening to this post-November 2, then you know a lot more than we do. As to what happened, but irregardless, what we want to talk about today is the whole notion of, regardless of who wins or who won, how do we shepherd the heart of our church plant or our campus or our church in light of all that is going on? So, Todd, what are some preliminary thoughts as we kind of step into this almost tenuous circumstance that we're in right now?
Well, actually, I was talking about this with Trevin Wax this week, and you know, at the time of this recording, I don't know if he is going to write the article, but I believe he's going to be writing an article. So if he does, we'll link to that in the show notes. But we're basically discussing how no matter who you vote for, you're going to be surprised at the results. Because if you, you know, vote for one candidate and he's like your guy, quote unquote, then odds are you are already socially segregated into a group of people that believe that person is going to win. So whether Trump wins or Biden wins, if you're a Trump guy and Biden wins, you're going to be shocked that Trump didn't win. And if you're a Biden person and Trump wins, you're going to be absolutely shocked and floored. You may think there's interference or there's got to be a reason, because, you know, I just don't understand. Well, the reason why you don't understand is both physically and socially, you're segregated into those groups of people based on where you live, and the yard signs in your neighborhood are probably majority one or the other. And on social media, we have already, you know, discussed at length different times the algorithms that are in place that segregate our feeds and what we see. So I think it's going to be fascinating just to watch one group of people melt down or the other melt down based on the results. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm excited about that, because I think that as pastors and church leaders, we need to ultimately lift up our citizenship of an eternal home in heaven, and that we're all going to be in the same place. And that is where we should all have our allegiance to being a citizen of heaven, and, you know, a fellow, and really caring for our fellow citizens. And I know that that is, that's different than thinking about the body, but whether you think about us as a body of believers, in Ephesians, and you all know, I preach Ephesians 4 all the time, but Ephesians 4, a big part of it is about unity. A big part, it starts out with unity, you know, being eager to maintain the unity of spirit, and the bond of peace within the body. That's in the first, I don't know, two or three verses. And then you have the Ephesians part that we love, which is we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, yada, yada. And then you get about halfway through the chapter, and it says that these things will result in the unity of the body, the building up, and the unity of body that will be measured in the fullness of Christ. So I think a big part that we have to play here is going to be clean up after it's over and making sure that, you know, we count the cost of unity, and we make sure that we're willing to do what we need to do to help people wait for the citizenship that is to come, the city that is to come. And, you know, it may be chaos, Yet we've got to have faith that, you know, the Lord is going to make this right. No political cause, agenda, movement is going to usher in the glory of God. That is going to be done later on.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about echo chambers and the fact that with social media and the algorithms, I mean, we are more and more and more placed in these echo chambers. It's interesting, though, how regional, right? How regional the U.S. is in its views on politics. Yet, even in the regional area, so I'm just even thinking when we lived in Mount Juliet in Nashville, what kind of yard signs would go up? Because we moved there in 2015, right? So before the election, and we saw kind of how all the signs were all going up. Well, actually in 2014, we moved and we were seeing all the signs go up and people's views and all of that. But even then, you then go on social media and you're like, oh, wait a second. As I like this post or as I ignore that post, it becomes even more segregated and you're even more, and you know, based on even the seconds in which you land on something, whether you react to it or not, that affects what social media is gonna serve up to you afterwards. So with all that said, I mean, it's so important that during this time, we really shepherd the hearts of our people, right? That we consider what the confusion and the differing messages that people are hearing. I mean, I even remember my wife was telling me on her feed specifically, someone was saying, hey, if you don't agree with this, or if you are gonna vote that way, then just I'm gonna unfriend you, right? And then I saw something else and someone else noting it about COVID, and they're like, no, I'm going to unfriend you because if you don't agree with me, then, and we just see this relational violence going on. Now, it's interesting, Todd. On episode 119 of the In Between podcast, which released last week, the one that I do with my wife, we interviewed this individual on the book Belonging. Her name is Sharon, and it was really neat. It was so timely because she really talked about this notion of how we often cut other people out, or how when we are offended, we heavily criticize others, or we are criticized because of this thing called relational violence. And man, don't we ever live in a time where people seem to be divided and relationally violent to one another, especially with those they disagree with.
I don't pretend it's going to be easy to shepherd through this time, but the best thing I think that you can do is not speak to specific issues, but at the same time, speaking to this time in history. And address the hour, you know, that we're in and the tension that we have. You know, you're not going to be able to handle this in a sermon, in a sermon. It's going to be perhaps a mini series, or simply working points into your existing sermons for the next several weeks. I mean, a lot of us already would have our sermons planned out. Yeah. And so, you know, if we're talking about faith and works and how that is exhibited, then maybe it's, you know, empathizing with others, especially whom we disagree, or I don't know, but it's addressing the current time, but also things that carry on after the event is finished. That's why I'm like, don't hit the specific issues regarding the election outright. Mm-hmm. Lift up the eternal truths of citizenship of heaven and cultivate that that character and that culture in your church.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a fantastic book, The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek. Yeah. And he talks about the difference between finite games, like a football game, you win or you lose, or infinite games. And the church, I mean, I know it's weird to call it a game, but we are in an infinite game, right? Until Jesus returns, right? So there's this notion of, hey, okay, I know this seems all consuming right now, but in 100 years from now, what's going to matter? What is going to stand the test of time, right? Even 5 years from now, what is going to stand the test of time? And I love, Todd, how you are pointing, you're encouraging our listeners to point our their church to Jesus and to the scriptures. My addition on top of that would be to think about how you can do that differently at every layer. So how do you connect with your staff and your key leaders? How do you, because they're your mouthpieces, right? They're your representatives. If you have a deacon or an elder or a staff member going haywire on the politics, how are you talking about it as your team? Right? It's different if a congregant is very opinionated on social media. It's a completely different thing if one of your elders is doing that or one of your staff members. So definitely talk about this and shepherd the heart of your church and of your team at different levels. I'll give you an example. And I'll just actually read this to you. Every week I send out a kind of an email newsletter to our staff, and it's really staff updates, different things that are going on. But I've really been taking I really reserve the first part of it to a bit of a devotional. And I know if you're in the US, you might not be aware of some of the provincial elections that had taken place in Canada over the last week, but last week there was a provincial election in BC. There was also a provincial election in Saskatchewan. And then there were talks about throwing a federal election in light of some disagreements in parliament. So, you know, you think about all of that and with the US election, and then you have COVID, there's just this massive big C change going on with those in leadership. So in the devotional, I addressed that and just called that out. And then I said this, I'll actually just read it for you. I said this in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, we read, "First of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I then wrote this, "I know that we may not always agree with those who are in positions of authority governing and leading us, but Scripture makes it clear that we are called to pray for them. So this week, let's thank God for those who are in positions of leadership over us, starting with those in government nationally, provincially, and locally. Let's pray that they would increasingly honor God in all that they do, and if they don't know Him, that they would come to a saving relationship with Him. Let's also pray that God would fill them with wisdom, especially as they make decisions that affect us and generations to come. Let's pray that God would allow them to act in ways that are above reproach, and that they would uphold justice in all that they do. And lastly, while I know it's easy to mock politicians and those in leadership, let's take some time to repent of any ways that we've criticized, judged, and shown hate instead of love to and for these leaders. Let's be a praying team."
That's good, man. I mean, I would say the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway is really what you've exhibited there, which is be in the pulpit and, you know, out in the out with your congregation physically whenever you're, you know, up close and personal. At least for now, I would shift toward being more of a shepherd than a prophet.
Both
in pulpit and in private, because the prophet right now is probably going to be more resisted. That voice that you have is going to be more easily resisted than the shepherd who is coming alongside, to, you know, laterally speak to people from, you know, specific testimony of scripture and testimonies that are happening within the congregation, and just helping people, you know, it's almost a emotional intelligence / spiritual intelligence issue of awareness right now that we have to lead people to is, you know, let's think about from we often talk on here about emotional intelligence. Well, you know, think about the empathy, think about the self-awareness needed during this time, and your proper proper placement, I guess, in the citizenship of heaven. Like, you know, where are you in the order? Well, we're all fellow citizens, and we need to act accordingly.
Love it. Love it. Well, we do hope that this has given you ideas and insights to whether you're listening to this on the day it dropped or weeks after, or days after. We do hope it gives you ideas. And I love that. And let's land on that note. Let's be shepherds. Let's not be apostles, prophets, evangelists, or even teachers right now. Let's be shepherds to the hearts of our people and to our city. All right. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.